Good morning. The scripture for today is Luke 10, 38 through 42. Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." This is the reading of God's Word.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Martha, Martha, Jesus calls. The problem is that Martha can't hear Jesus because she's distracted. I picture Martha preparing her home to welcome Jesus. So I'm kind of imagining her frantically running around the house, cleaning everything, stashing everything in that one room and closing the door, preparing food and changing the linens. I'm also imagining in this scenario that she has given her sister Mary specific tasks to help with, and Mary stops what she's doing and sits at Jesus' feet and listens to him. Jesus praises Mary and rebukes Martha because Martha is so distracted by her preparations, she can't see Jesus. Does this sound familiar? I bet that many of us identify with Martha. In fact, where would our churches be without their Marthas? Those faithful folks who perform the tasks of hospitality and service, vital to making the church a welcoming, but also a well-functioning community. These are the people that get here early to turn our lights on. They make sure that there is toilet paper in the bathrooms. They're also the ones who make sure that everyone has a bulletin. I want to caution us from being overly critical of Martha. We shouldn't think of Martha as this silly woman concerned with silly womanly things. There's nothing inherently wrong with Martha attending to the tasks of hospitality. Martha is precisely the sort of host that Jesus imagined his disciples would encounter on their journeys. Like so many of us, Martha has trouble sitting at the feet of Jesus. Jesus calls out to her to remind her, even if the house isn't clean, the kingdom of God is coming near. Jesus rebukes her because she's forgotten that this kingdom is more important than the way the house looks. I'm sure many of you know that I had a really busy week this past week. But inspired by our scripture passage, I decided to spend some time listening to what Jesus might be trying to call my attention to. On Tuesday, I was having lunch with a colleague who asked me if I would be interested in going with her and a bunch of other Presbyterians to Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala in 2020 so that we could learn about the border crisis. I'm not going to lie, my instinct was just to tell her, no, I don't know anything about the border crisis, or if there even is one. Isn't Guatemala being ripped apart by gang violence right now? The last thing I need is another lecture from my mother about traveling to countries that are unsafe. Also, I don't live on the border. I don't live anywhere close to the border. What could I possibly do about this situation when people that are way smarter than me still haven't figured out a solution? Still, I didn't want to turn my colleague down without some research to back up why I was saying no. And by research, I mean I did some Googling. I learned that families from Central America are migrating to the United States because they're seeking asylum. Basically, asylum is protection granted to a foreign national or somebody who lives outside of the United States who is fleeing persecution in his or her home country. And for many of the migrants who are coming here from Central America, they're seeking asylum because the gang violence has gotten so bad in their home countries that they fear for their lives. Now, asylum seekers are a little bit different than typical immigrants. I think in our mind, when we think of immigrants illegally crossing the border, we're generally thinking of immigrants who are coming to the United States from Mexico. And these immigrants tend to be coming here looking for work. And they tend to be single, and they tend to be men. But the migrants that are coming from Central America are traveling as families. And when these families get to the United States, having almost died trying to get here, they're being held in detention centers at the border until their asylum paperwork can be processed. I'm sure we've all seen the stories on the news about how children are being separated from their parents at the border. The other problem with these detention centers is that they were simply not built to accommodate the recent influx of migrants. There aren't enough showers, bathrooms, laundry facilities, or food. In the children's detention centers, infants are being cared for by 7-year-old strangers. There aren't enough diapers for the babies. And there's not enough medicine for the kids when they get sick. So herein lies the tension. Most Americans agree that immigration policy has to change, but we disagree on how to go about doing that. Democrats believe that we need to fix how we treat migrants at the border, and then we can fix our immigration policy. Republicans, on the other hand, believe that we need to decrease the number of migrants entering the country. Then we'll fix our immigration policy. And so on and so forth and on, we go back and forth. Now, somewhere around, I think it was Thursday afternoon, I realized that I had fallen down a rabbit hole about what to do about the U.S. border crisis. And I realized that I had unintentionally fallen into the classic Martha trap, allowing myself to become so distracted by details that I miss what's right in front of me. Here I have an opportunity to travel to Central America to learn firsthand about the border crisis. And I'm wasting time trying to figure out if the New York Times article or if the CNN article is more accurate. Here I have an opportunity to meet with Presbyterian missionaries who are working for peace and justice and reconciliation on our borders. And I'm Googling crime rates in Guatemala. I had become so worried and so distracted by many things, when really all I have to do is say yes to this invitation and trust that God's going to work out the details. By now, I'm sure it's no surprise to anyone how important I think travel is to my life, but also to my ministry. It's important for me to leave the bubble that is my life and see how Christians live and worship God in other parts of the world. Every summer, I try to set aside some time to pray about where God might be inviting me to go the following year. And this year, as I prayed about it, I sensed God nudging me to invite you all to consider coming with me on one of these trips. Still in the very, very early stages of planning for 2020, but I think there's going to be an opportunity to travel to either Central America in February or England in May. The purpose of the Central America trip is to learn about the border crisis. The purpose of the England trip is to travel around to all of the sacred spaces in England. I think we're right now, all I can remember off the top of my head is we're going to go to the place where the King James Bible was written, which to me seems really cool. You may all think that's a little nerdy, but... And we'll be visiting different monasteries and just different cool things. This is to say that in the coming weeks and months, you should not be surprised if you find me asking you, or maybe even pestering you, if you sense that God might be inviting you to come on one of these trips with me. Right now, I just want to say, please don't let money be the reason you don't go. I will help you fundraise. I've been on many trips, and I have always seen God provide. I've never heard of anyone not be able to go because they didn't have the money to go. Now, saying this, I know that not everyone is going to be able or want to travel, and that's okay. While we're gone, I will have different activities for you who are here to participate in so that you can pray for us and see what we're doing. Friends, I want to close our time together this morning by saying, whether you are a Martha or a Mary or some beautiful combination of both, our text this morning is an invitation for you to reflect on what Jesus is trying to call your attention to. Now is the time to look at your life and see what difference is this kingdom of God making. And if you're having trouble seeing that difference, maybe thinking about what about your life needs to change, even if only for a season, to see it. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.